giving her those cards. That is a blessing. Appreciate it very, very much. John chapter 15, you're there in the Bible. We're going to begin reading there in verse 1, all right? Everybody's had time to find John by now, right? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Boy, I wish you'd underline that, circle it, and draw some arrows pointing to it. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I want to take you back to the very first phrase in the first verse we read, where the Lord Jesus Christ, we find these words, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. If you read through the Gospel of John and you underline the times where Jesus said, I am something, all right, you're going to underline at least 15 passages, all right, where he made that statement where he said, I am something in revelation of his person and his work, all right? We've looked at several of them in the last few weeks. He said, for instance, said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the light of the world, all right? He said all of those. And today I want us to look at that statement right there. I am the true vine. Because I believe, I believe there's a wealth of blessing and encouragement and enlightenment for us. If we'll just think about these thoughts, look at it, and hey, we're not going to plumb the depths of all that's there, okay? Because I can't do that, neither can any one individual. But just a few things this morning, if we will. We'll just dissect the verse a little bit of time. First, I want you to notice the first word. The Bible says, I. Now, I want you to understand that I is the God of the universe. That's who's doing the speaking. John chapter 1, if you want to flip back there and hold your place in John 15. John chapter 1, the book begins with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And just so you can't be too confused about it, it goes on to say in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hey, listen, there is no doubt about it, all right? That Word was made flesh. It was manifest in the flesh. And that Word that's being spoken about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody might say, preacher, everybody knows that. But wait a minute, everybody doesn't. And there's folks today that deny that very simple truth. I want to make sure this morning that you know that I know who that I is. Amen. But also, I want to make sure you know who that I is. I have found out in 50 years of preaching and being involved in the work of God that sometimes we preachers assume things that aren't true. We assume people understand more than they do. I used to say this, and mention some incident in the Bible, and I would say, you know the story. Until I had a person tell me, you know, you say you know the story. Well, I want you to know I don't know the story. So I've tried not to assume that people just know it, all right? I don't do that. I want to be sure, okay? And I don't want to make the mistake today of thinking you don't know who the I am is, all right? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh when he was speaking, all right? Now, nothing has changed. You do see the word am, don't you? Now, for those of you that might not think so, I did go to school. I graduated. I even have a diploma from college. And in all of those years, I've managed to learn that that word am is present tense. It's right now, right now. So when he said it to that crowd he was speaking to in the Gospel of John, it was present tense. He, right then, he was, all right? He could say, I am the true vine. But I want you to know it, it's just as true today as it was then, all right? It's still in the present tense. He is still just exactly what he was and what he always will be. But then I want you to notice that next word that comes in there that's real. He said, I am the true vine. True. He said, what's that? Well, that's as opposed to being false or to being fake. There's a lot of fakery in the world. There's a lot which is put out as true, which is false. You cannot trust, hey folks, you can't trust the news media. You can't trust Twitter, Facebook, Slapchat, TikTok. Said preacher, it's not Slapchat. I know it. But it's close enough, okay? And I just want to tell you, you can't trust that stuff. I was at a funeral yesterday. My brother and I went to a funeral of a preacher friend of ours, a guy we've known. I've known him and I guess since I was 10 years old, at least, he was the counselor in our cabin the first time I ever went to youth camp. And that's been a day or two ago, all right? And I was 10 years old at the time, so I've known him for a long, long time. But a fellow got up to speak at his funeral, and he said, I saw on something, I don't even remember what social media it was, he said, but I saw on my phone that Don Shipman had died back in January. And he said, I'd called his son-in-law. And I said, I'm sorry to hear the news. And he said, what news? He said, well, I thought, well, surely he would have known, you know. But he said that your father-in-law died. He said, he's not dead. He's not dead. And he just died this past week. And so he said, when I got a text message this time that he died, I thought, I've heard that before. But he said, I got a second one about 15 minutes later from his son-in-law this time. And he said, well, I guess that's confirmation. So he said, I called him. He said, I should have just called Don Shipman to see if he's alive or not, you know. Hey, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of fake, there's a lot of falsehood out there in the world today. But when the Bible, when Jesus himself says, I am the true vine, all right? Boy, that it's not just true as opposed to false or fake. It goes way farther than that. To be true in the sense that Jesus Christ is true means to be absolutely genuinely correct, all right? It means sincerely accurate. It means faithfully loyal. You say to what? To every promise that he ever made. To every pledge he ever gave. To every saying that he ever said. To every statement that he ever made. To every answer that he ever gave. To every assurance that he issued forth. All of that, boy, all of it's true. All of it's true. Man, we just go on. His word is true. His word is true. This right here, this word, it's true. Hey, his work is true. He's still doing a work today. His ways are true. Hey, when we talk about I am the true vine, that true, I just want to remind you, there is nothing false in him. There's nothing false about him. Amen. There's no fakery. There's no fakery. He's not like us. We put on a false front sometimes. We try to impress people sometimes. I don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ ever tried to impress anybody. He just laid it out there, all right? It was just true. But I want you to notice not only who was talking, not only the veracity of it, but he said, I am the true vine. The true vine. Now, I'll submit to you, there's just something special about a vine. You said, how do you figure that? Well, they can provide beauty, fruit, support, and entertainment. You said, entertainment? Sure. Didn't y'all ever watch Tarzan? Man, when I was a kid, my brother and I, every Saturday morning, we'd watch Tarzan on TV. We tried to yell the way he yelled, you know. We came the closest when we mashed our finger, but we'd try to yell the way he yelled, and always thought, man, it'd be so cool to have some, get in the, you know, forest and grab up and grab a vine and go sailing across and jump and grab another one, you know. That's why I always liked Johnny Weissmuller as Tarzan. I always figured the other guys were sad imitations. I mean, they would go swinging through the jungle and they go and then turn loose. What a chicken-livered coward. I mean, Weissmuller, it was always swinging out there, and he'd jump and grab the next. Now, I realize it probably wasn't him, okay? It was probably a double and all that. But, man, it was entertaining. It was entertaining. We even played Tarzan. We didn't have a vine, but we had a rope, okay? And we just, it was entertaining. Well, wait a minute, there's something a lot more important than entertainment. It comes from the fact he's the true vine. Just a few things this morning will be done. Number one, I want you to think of this. One of the great things about a vine is it supports. It supports. It holds up the branches. Without the vine, the branches would never be able to reach high. They'd never be able to really stretch for the sun. But it's the vine that provides all the support that's needed for every branch without fail. Boy, can I say this to you? It's Jesus Christ that does the exact same thing for the believer. Boy, he supplies all the support we need. All the support we need. It is he that can hold us up. You said, man, I'm going through a real difficulty. Just hang on to the vine, all right? He's going to hold you up. You can count on it. Well, I'm just going through a storm in my life. Well, hey, in the storm, through the storm, he can provide the support that you need. He can do it. When you feel like, well, nobody else is out there, it's all right. The vine's still strong, okay? The vine is still strong. You truthfully, it is not necessary for us to have someone else, because that vine gives us the strength, it gives us the support, it gives the stability in all conditions, all circumstances, whatever your circumstance is, he's there to hold you up. What a blessing it is to know that. Psalms chapter 18, verse 48 says, he delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Hey, it's the Lord that lifts us up, okay, above those that rise against us. I just want to tell you, man, whatever your problem is, if you hang on to that true vine, he can get you through it, all right? He can support you. He can keep you above it, all right, if you'll just hang on to him, all right? Just hang on to him. We get in trouble when we start grabbing for a substitute, okay? We just get in trouble. Don't do that, all right? Don't do that. Hang on to him. He provides the support that we need. But not only does a vine supply support, but it supplies the nutrients to the branches. Have you ever noticed the vine itself really has no beauty? That vine may be big and rough, but all the beauty comes off of those branches. Off of those branches. But those branches are lively and green and beautiful because the vine brings the nutrients to the branch. It brings those things out of the soil that it needs. It brings the water to the leaves and to the branches. It's got to come through the vine. All right, it's got to come through the vine. You take that branch, you cut it off, and that branch soon dies. It loses all the beauty. It loses all the vitality that it ever had. Why? Well, you snipped it loose. You say, preacher, that's about as simple can be. Good. How come you have such a hard time with that in your life? How come it's such a difficult thing? We understand it in nature. We look at that vine, we say, hey, well, cut that branch off and bring it in. Well, it's going to ruin it. It'll die. We understand that. But for some reason, the child of God gets away from the vine. And we begin to shrivel up. We begin to dry up. We get brittle for lack of nourishment. And then we say, well, I wonder what's wrong. Can I be blunt with you? How dumb are you, okay? Good grief. It's the vine. We've got to stay attached to him, all right? Remember there in verse 5, he said, for without me ye can do nothing. Hey, you can't even look good without him. I'll tell you, if he can make me look good, he's doing a marvelous thing. What a miracle, all right? But it's if we stay attached to him, okay? Attached to him. Yet I find so many people today, find so many people that profess Christ as their Savior, profess to know him, and yet they won't go to church. They don't attend the house of God. Don't go, all right? They just don't. They get away from him. They miss everything that's going on. They miss the Bible reading. They miss the Bible teaching. They miss the preaching. And by the way, I'm not tooting my own horn. I need preaching too, all right? So I go looking for it. Hey, but we think, well, I can disconnect from that. And then I wonder, why is life not so good? Why are things not turning out so well? Well, you got away from the vine, okay? You got away from the vine. I don't know if you did it yourself, or you allowed something else to come into life and cause it. And then when that happens, we wonder, well, how come I'm not growing? How come I'm not feeling well fed? Well, it's real simple. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Here's how simple the Lord put it to people in his day. He said in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So, well, why doesn't he feed me? Well, because you're not where you need to be. You've separated yourself from the vine. Boy, you do that, your life begins to shrivel up. Things begin to get bitter. Things get dry. You get cross and you're upset with people you ought not to be upset with. You're not even happy with yourself anymore. Well, why? Well, you got away from the vine. You're not being fed. You're not being taken care of. But it's not. Hey, it's your fault, okay? Hey, that vine is there to provide the nutrients. Hey, it provides the nutrients that we need, all right? It supplies the support we need. But then it supplies the strength that we need. Now, this is real close to that matter of support. But it provides the strength. It is a strong vine that enables the branch to endure tough circumstances. If the vine is strong, then the whole branch can endure when it goes through drought, and maybe even disease. But if the vine is strong, the whole plant, the whole branch can take it. I want to tell you, when the child of God gets weary, worn, and even defeated, all you need to do is just cling closer to the vine, to the strength you need to endure the trial, okay? He'll give you that strength. I want you to take your Bible over to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Because this gives illustration of what I'm talking about, gives you the scripture so you don't just say, well, that came from the ravings of your mind, all right? 2 Samuel chapter 22, would you? 2 Samuel chapter 22. Look, if you will, in verse 33. Here's David. David's singing a song. And this is part of that song. In verse 33, he says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Perfect. Hey, friend, I'm tell you. You say, we're going through a storm. Oh, just snuggle up a little closer to the vine. Just get a little closer to him. Just get as close as you can to him. You know, I marvel at people. I watch them. I've been in the work of the Lord for right at 50 years. And then growing up in a preacher's home, I watched it for before that, okay? I'll never forget watching different people go through some very difficult times. And I saw some, when the real difficult time came, they got out of the house of God. They got away from the Lord. And boy, I can't tell you how many times they wound up shipwrecked. But I watched other ones going through the same kind of storm, just as difficult. But man, it just seemed like they hunkered down a little closer. They got a little more faithful. They made sure we're not missing any service. They were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Boy, sometimes you could tell it was a struggle for them to get there, but they got there. And I was amazed at how many times they weathered the storm. Well, the one that got out couldn't survive that storm. Why not? Hey, because they left the place for the strength they needed. That vine is there. That vine is there for you and me as a child of God. When he said, I am the true vine, you go on down there and he said, ye are the branches. Ye are the branches. And he said, except ye abide in me, all right? Except you abide in me, you're going to have trouble. But if you'll abide in me, hey, if you'll abide in me, here's the next thing the vine does. It allows the branch to bear fruit. It allows the branch to bear fruit. Now, I know when I get here, a lot of Christians, you've been in church for a long time, and you say, I know where this is going. And you back off a little bit. And you say, I'm not, preacher, you're not going to talk me into that. I ain't trying to talk you into anything. I'm trying to preach you the Word of God, all right? And if the Holy Spirit nails your hide, that means you need to be nailed, all right? But we back away because you say, preacher, I know where you're going. You're talking about if we bear fruit, and for a Christian, if he's going to bear fruit, that means he produces other Christians. Well, that is scriptural. That is true. He said, man, if you'll abide in me, in verse 7, all right, if you'll abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He said in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Fruit. And the devil sends by every vehicle with a siren blaring right now. So you'll sit there and wonder, what's going on? Well, what's going on right now is right here, okay? And the Lord's saying to you, if you'll abide in me, he said, you can bring forth much fruit. And you can reproduce yourself. You can reproduce yourself. You ought to reproduce yourself in your home, your children. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God, your kids ought to get saved. You ought to do your best to reach them with the gospel. You ought to do your best to win them to Jesus Christ. You at least you can bear fruit in your own home. At least you can bear fruit there. But it ought to go beyond that. Hey, why? Hey, it's that what we get, the strength, the nutrients, and the support that we get from the vine that allows us to bear fruit. That allows us to go out and say, preacher, I'm shy. I don't care if you're shy or not. You can tell somebody about Jesus. You can witness to people. Doesn't matter how shy we are, it'll bring forth fruit. The fruit is missing in the lives of so many Christians. Why? They don't really abide in the vine. Too often people just come by the church to visit the Lord. Lord, I was there today. You saw me, right? I'll see you later. I may be back next Sunday to visit with you. No, that's not abiding in the vine. What if we'll abide in Him? We can bring forth fruit. Hey, souls are won by believers that'll abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. And just be a consistent witness. Hey, carry tracts with you. Hand them out. Pass them out. Be willing to talk to people about your faith. We get together and we cuss the government. You know, now I hope you don't literally curse. But we get together and we talk about the government. We talk to people that we don't know. And we'll get in a conversation. We talk about sports. And, you know, here this is cowboy country. So we talk about the Cowboys. And if you live here, you can always find somebody that hates the Cowboys and loves another team. All right? Fine business. Good for them. You know? But we can talk about all of that. But we can't tell about the best friend we ever had in our life. The one that laid down his life for us. We can't tell people about him. We can't get to the point. I'll never forget, my brother and I were, man, this is years, 40 plus years ago. We were on vacation. We were in Yellowstone National Park. And we had pulled our camper into the campground. It was a 1972 Green LTD. And he had the back bunk. I had the front bunk. And there were only two bunks. And fortunately, that car was made so you could stretch out. It wasn't bucket seats, you know. And so that's where we were sleeping. But our entertainment package wasn't working. And TV in the car didn't work. Y'all figured that out, okay? So it wasn't dark yet. And we thought, well, we'll walk around a little bit here. Snow was deep all over the campground. Only the very top of the picnic table stuck out of the snow. And so we're walking around there. And we meet this guy. And, man, he has got a rig beyond belief. I had the Airstream camper trailer and a big truck to pull it all in a boat and motorcycles and everything. And we're just there looking at it going, whoa. And he comes by and we begin to talk to him. And we did what we always do. So, he's from California. Said, where you go to church? And so we're talking. And finally, he made this statement. He said, well, hey, it's not important. He was a very conservative politically man. But he didn't want to talk about the Lord. See, that's our problem. We'll talk about everything else, but we won't talk to people about Christ. Oh, we ought to talk about the Lord. We ought to bear fruit. We ought to bear fruit. If you abide in me, the Bible says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. We can said, if you'll abide in me and I'll abide in you, you can bring forth much fruit. Well, I don't believe it. Well, have you tried it? Have you tried it? You try to bring forth fruit. I believe it's true when it comes to producing Christians, but I believe it's also true about the fruit that's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Let me invite you to turn over there, all right? This is the fruit of the Spirit. I believe that fruit of the Spirit's best produced when we're abiding in the vine. We stick in that vine and we get our strength from Him. There's some fruit that ought to be in your life. Galatians 5, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Wow. You know what? I believe if you'll abide in the vine, that fruit will be in your life too. I believe that fruit will show up. It'll just... I've never even thought about this, honestly, till right this moment. The Lord put it in my mind. Have you ever thought about going to an apple tree and trying to bind the limbs and the blooms so much that the fruit can't come out? You reckon it'd work? I'm telling you, it's going to produce fruit. You got a peach tree, it's going to produce peaches. You got an apple tree, it's going to produce apples. Just go on and on. It's going to produce that fruit. Listen, you and I as a child of God, if we'll abide in the vine, there's some fruit ought to be in our life. And there ought to be other Christians who ought to produce that, but these things ought to show up too. That thing called love. Man, I've seen people that have spent their life hating other people. And their hatred comes through real strong, but you got to look hard for the love, okay? You got to look hard. You look at them and they've got this intense desire to get even. I'll get even with... You know, hey, that's not through the Spirit, okay? That's the flesh speaking. Joy. And is that what's in you? Joy. Joy is that thing that doesn't matter what happens, it's there. It's just going to be produced. It's not a matter of happiness. It's not a matter, you know, we get happy every now and then because something happens. But wait a minute. Joy is just always there. It's just there. It bubbles out. You can't help it, okay? Just having a good old time. I go to the grocery store and people say, "How you doing?" I say, "Man, I'm having a good old time." They usually chuckle a little bit. And I'll say, "Well, aren't you?" I said, "Man, life's exciting." I had somebody tell me this last week. That's not the word I would use. Hey, a lot of people, there's not much joy. But if you're a Christian, you'll abide in the vine. There can be joy in your life. You'll produce that fruit. There'll be joy. Just got to abide in the vine. Peace. Oh, what a wonderful thing peace is. What a wonderful thing peace is. If you listen to the news, it'll take away your peace. Take away your joy. It'll probably make you hate if you listen to enough of it. It'll take those things away. If you take all of that seriously and let it bother you. You know, we got the war in Ukraine going on. People go, "Man, there's a third world war coming." Well, okay, bring it on. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Because I believe the third world will come before it gets here. We're going. Amen. I believe they're going, all right? I'm not going to let that take away my joy. I go to the gas pump. I see the price on the gallon. You say, "Does it fill your heart with joy?" No. But I got enough joy to overcome that. Okay, got enough joy to overcome that. I don't go in the gas station. "Man, you guys keep raising the price." Surely you understand they had nothing to do with it. I mean, you know, I'm not going to let that take my joy. Peace. I've got some peace that passes all understanding. Peace. Hey, you ought to have it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It comes from being attached real good to the vine, okay? Long-suffering. Some of us don't have much of that. We can't handle anything. We're not long-suffering. We lose it and we say, "That's it. That's it." I was talking to somebody this last week and about their children and they had some children messing up. Life's not what they should be, and they're disappointed, brokenhearted. And I said, "Whatever you do, don't cut them off. Amen. Don't cut them off." I thank God that my son's in church. He's faithful. I thank God my daughter and her family, they're in church. They're faithful. I do. But I'm going to tell you something straight out. If they go off the deep end and they either one of them decides to jump into the world and get away from God, they're not going to hear Dad say, "Well, don't you never come back to this house." They ain't never going to hear Dad say that. Those doors are going to be open. Hey, we ought to be a little bit long-suffering sometimes. Aren't you glad God was long-suffering with you? How many of you got saved the very first time you understood the gospel? I didn't. I put the Lord off for weeks. I was under deep conviction. I'm glad he's long-suffering. And boy, since I got saved, I haven't always done that which pleased him. I'm glad he's long-suffering. Can I say to you, you'll stick close to the vine. You'll be firmly put into him. You can be long-suffering. That fruit will show up in your life. Gentleness. Faith, meek, temperance, all of those things, they'll be there. They'll be there. Why? Because I'm in the vine. And the branch can bear fruit when it's really abiding in the vine. You can too. Hey, Christian, let me ask you today, how's your spiritual health? How's your spiritual health? Not physical, but spiritual. Are you kind of weak, sickly, kind of been battered by life, fruitless? I just want to remind you of this, there's nothing wrong with the vine. There is nothing wrong with the vine. He is the true vine. The problem doesn't lie with him, it's with you. It's with you. You've gotten away from that vine. Maybe you've allowed life to separate you from the life-giving vine. Maybe you've purposefully pulled away from that vine on your own. Hey, that's your fault, it's not God's. Nothing wrong with the vine, okay? Nothing wrong with the vine. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know what happened. Wait a minute. And I hear, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, if you'll stick with him, he can get you through whatever happened. He can. I don't care what happened. You'll abide in him. Hey, unless you're attached to that vine, there's no life in you. You see, life comes to the branch from the vine. I was dead as a 9-year-old boy. Dead in trespasses and sin. But I got grafted in to the true vine. When that Sunday night I walked to the altar in an old-fashioned Bible-preaching church and called out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saved my soul. If you've never done that, there's no life in you. You said, I've been baptized. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. There's no life in you. If you never came to him and called out to him and asked him to save your soul, not just to forgive you for the sins you've done, but to forgive you for the fact you were a sinner. Called out to him and said, Lord, save my soul. You're not, you're still dead in trespasses and sin. But you can get grafted in today. You can get grafted into that vine if you'll come by faith and call upon him. Christian, you're here. Your life's a little bit withered. Your spiritual health's not too good. I want to say this to you. The vine is persistent. Have you ever tried to get rid of a vine? You ever tried to get rid of a vine? I got one that's growing, right? I'm sure it'll be back this spring. It's come back every spring here lately, all right? And that thing grows, it'll come up and it'll start winding around the support on my front porch. And I've pulled it down, I've cut it down, but it's persistent. I'm going to say this to you. As a Christian, you better be glad that vine is persistent. Because that vine, that true vine, still reaching out to you today and calling you and saying, won't you come back? Won't you come back? Won't you get close to me again? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, that vine's coming to you today and saying, if you'll come, I'll graft you in. You can get the life from me if you just come. He's persistent. He keeps calling. Don't forsake his call. Don't brush it off. Oh, listen, my friend, if you're here lost, there's no reason to leave that way. You can trust Christ today. But you hear me. If you're a Christian, there's no reason for you to live a defeated life. There's no reason for you to let life get the best of you. Because we are connected to that true vine. If we just let him give us what we need, he'll keep giving and keep giving and keep giving. Would you come to him? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? He is the true vine. Will you come to him today for what you need? Would you do that? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. because we are a people that are in need. Dear Lord, we need things from you every day. Every day. And Lord, I pray you'd give these folks here this morning the courage to come. They need to come. Some of them, Lord, maybe have separated themselves from you, and they're a little bit weak and sickly. Lord, some of them have let life's circumstances pull them away. Lord, they're not doing too well today. Would you help them this morning to come back? First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning, page 370, I Need Thee Every Hour. Oh, how we need him. How we need him. Listen to God speaking to you this morning. That's the reason for the invitation, is to give you a chance to do what God wants you to do. Would you come to him this morning while we sing this verse? Come ahead. Come ahead.
I need thee.